You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Museums have tour guides and curators. They have education specialists and front desk staff. But during this health crisis, all of our favorite museums have gone dark. So they're trying to expand their virtual reach. But look, there's nothing that compares to stepping foot in these really special places and looking up and around at what beholds us in the flesh. So we're checking in on how they're doing. Have you tried exploring virtual tours at any museums? Which ones are your favorite? How are you supporting your museum that's closed? We're at 800-642-1234. Greg Vadney is president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. He's also executive director of the Rahr West Art Museum in Manitowoc. Greg, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back on, Kate.
How has COVID-19 affected museums around the state? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about small businesses around the state and how devastating their closures have been for them. And included in that would be so many nonprofits and certainly museums. I mean, if we think of museums, as we probably should, as nonprofits, or as nonprofits, but also as small businesses, you'll find that most museums will have 500 or less employees. And as you would expect, this has been devastating for us. We've really had two twin devastations here. One is the loss of earned revenue. You know, most museums are going to make their budget by hosting either people and getting admissions funding or having people coming in for special events. So those are both lost. But also with the hit on the stock market, a lot of us have endowment funds that are invested. And with the shakeup in the market, we can't really rely on investment funds to bridge that gap. So there are a lot of museums that are hurting right now. I know the Wisconsin Federation of Museums is doing its best to help out. Museums contribute about $600 million annually to the economy of Wisconsin. And I don't think people realize when you hurt museums, you hurt the economy in general, too. So it's been pretty bad. I wish the news was better right now.
I wish we could talk about something that would be much more exciting, like a brand new exhibition. How I long for that. But take us to your museum, Rahr West Art Museum in Manitowoc. How are you doing?
Well, you know, the Rahr West is a City of Manitowoc facility. We're a municipal museum, which is pretty rare. And so we get a lot of our earned We supplement our earned revenue with tax funds. And so as a public museum, we have the stability of a city budget, which we have a little bit more liquidity than a lot of our friends in the museum world. So for us, we have a very small staff. We only have three full time. I'm actually calling you from the museum. I am still coming into the museum just for security purposes, but the other two employees that are full-time are working from home. We did have to furlough some of our frontline staff that are part-time people, but we're hoping to bring them back as soon as we can. And that seems to be somewhat the story across the board for museums in the state.
So pretty much furloughs across the board around the state at museums.
A lot of furloughs, a lot of layoffs. And for a lot of our partner museums that are financially not as stable as we are, there is definite concern of whether they will open or not.
Once we are on the other side of this, whether they will be able to reopen.
Yeah, whether they can financially weather the storm. The first CARES Act was something that we were happy with. There was funding available through NEA and NEH and the Institute for Museums and Library Services. We needed immediately for a lot of museums. The SBA loans are something that I think a lot of museums are unfamiliar with navigating, even though some of those loans are open to 501c3s, which many museums are. So we're all navigating this system. I know my colleagues at WFM and I are trying to get them as much of the information as we know and we can get to them. So there's been a lot of webinars and a lot of Zoom meetings.
I bet. On this Wisconsin Weekend, we're talking about museums during the pandemic. Although closed to visitors, we also find ways to stay connected with patrons. Greg Vadney is president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums, and he's taking us around to them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite museum in your community? Have you gone online to check out what they're offering, what they're saying to you, and how are you helping them out at this time? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. So, Greg, what happens to collections and programmings at this time? What happens to exhibitions that were midway through?
Well, there are a few things. I'll talk about just our, from the standpoint of my museum, we have, our collections can be kind of mothballed, you know. For many museums, if they have collections, they do need somebody usually to be around for both security, but also just general maintenance. But we can secure them. Exhibits, we work in the springtime with our local schools, and we have public school artwork up in the gallery, in our main gallery, which we're not sure when we're going to be able to get them back. We also have a sister city relationship with the city of Kamigawa, Japan. So we have artwork from Kamigawa, Japan, which we're not sure when we'll return. On the flip side, we did plan on bringing in two loaned pieces of art through the Arch Bridges Network, which is connected with Crystal Bridges Museum in
Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And as far as we've last heard, those will be sent to us in May. They will still travel. And we've been talking with the National Park Service and some of our museum colleagues to figure out what our best practices are for, lack of a better term, decontaminating any kind of loaned objects that we receive, making sure that they're disinfected and that kind of thing, but doing it safely so you're not harming the artwork itself. So we have exhibits planned in June, which are still on. I think for the museum world, some have had to fully cancel, some have delayed, postponed some of their exhibits. Some of them have shortened exhibits. We are hesitant to postpone because a lot of us have schedules that lead many years. And once you take something out of that schedule, it's hard to plug it back in.
Right. There's a gaping hole there for those months that exhibition is supposed to be up. You also.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was going to say the uncertainty, yeah, and each day brings maybe a little bit more clarity, but I'm not sure how much clarity. Once we start to know a little bit more, I think we'll be making a lot more definitive choices as far as those long-term exhibitions, whether we're going to keep them or not. Because the last thing we want to do is cancel them and then find out, hey, we can open in July or in August and we've got nothing here for them.
We're talking with Greg Vadney, president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. A shout out to the Milwaukee County Historical Society and the Wisconsin Veterans Museum in Madison, Trout Museum of Art, Making a Difference in Appleton. Do you work or volunteer at a museum in your community? How has the pandemic affected your operations? Are you still able to connect with patrons virtually? How do finances look? Will your museum bounce back from this? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a minute with Greg Vadney right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So in better times, we'd be going around the state learning about so many events happening at our museums. We'd be making plans to check out exhibitions with difficult choices, right, because of all those jam-packed calendars. But the reality is that galleries and museums and our art organizations, they're shuttered, and it's difficult to predict when they may reopen. Job losses, as we've been hearing, are inevitable. So what questions do you have about how these arts nonprofits are adapting to the coronavirus pandemic? What do you want to know about your local museum? Join in 800-642-1234. Greg Vadney is with us. He's president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. Let's take a call now. Jay is joining us from Two Rivers this morning. Hi, Jay.
Good morning and good Friday to you. We in the Two Rivers Manitowoc area are quite fortunate in having the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. We're located right on the shores of Lake Michigan, and it's a wonderful museum that displays the history of the lakes and the rivers in this area from the fur trade up to modern times. And there's a genuine World War II submarine moored right outside the museum. And when it's open, they have regular tours of the museum or of the submarine. And they've got a large triple expansion steam engine from many, many years ago that used to power ships on the lake, along with a working periscope in the building itself, which extends through the roof. It's quite high, and it gives you a 360-degree view of the entire area.
Oh, I just love your description. I want to just give a shout out to our favorite underwater archaeologist there, Kathy Green, who runs that museum. Greg, that's in your neck of the woods.
It sure is. It's right down the street from me. And, I've been talking with Kathy over the past few weeks, making sure that they're okay. And that's probably a good segue for us to talk about. You know, that caller just described the museum really well, and I hope many of the listeners are itching to come up here and see that museum. But they also have offered a lot of virtual over the past few weeks. They were in all year round, but I think most museums' reactions has been, what can we get? How can we get the viewer experience, the visitor experience, digital as quickly as possible if we don't have it already? And how can we share what makes our museum great with our public if our public can't get in our door? So that's really been the concentration. I know right down the street from me, the Maritime Museum has done a wonderful job. And one thing I've noticed that they're doing, which we're encouraging a lot of museums to do, is they're putting the faces of their employees out there. They're doing profiles of their employees, which is connected with some of the tours and some of the informational online programming that they're doing, so that the public knows that these are the people that are being affected and knows that these are the people that are reaching out and trying to make their day better by providing them with entertainment, with some educational things, with more information about maybe their hometown or about the arts or about science that can help them in their everyday life, even if it's just something to keep their mind off of the crisis.
We're talking about the museums around our state on this Wisconsin weekend. Greg Vadney is our guide. He's president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. And you can join in with your favorite museum that is closed right now. Describe it to us, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Greg, you're talking there about some of the virtual options that our museums are putting together. Milwaukee Public Museum has digital tours. Discovery World is working on some projects as well. What is out there for us to explore?
There's a lot of great things. You mentioned Discovery World, and they're doing they're a science-based place in Milwaukee, and for them, a lot of it has been online science projects that you can do with households. Objects you can do with your family, you can do on your own if you're on your own. but they have been great at providing new educational programming. One of the ones I wanted to definitely highlight is EAA. The EAA Museum in Oshkosh has virtual tours of the cockpits of some of their airplanes. They just released on Facebook a few days ago a cockpit of a 1945 Corsair. So the cockpit of something that might have been used in the Pacific Theater of World War II.
That is so cool, because you can virtually there go into that cockpit. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I know, to be a little bit more local, in Two Rivers, the Hamilton Woodtype and Printing Museum, one of the neat things they're doing is a little bit more informal. They have what they're calling the Hamilton Hang, which is a daily meetup of print artists. And the Woodtype Museum is a really unique place that is a very, very specific, this print type idea, but also carries worldwide. And they have a sister museum that they've been in contact with for many years in Northern Italy. So really for the past month, they have been in constant contact with that museum in Italy. And they do a daily meetup with members of that museum and also just people worldwide that are part of the community. It's a Zoom meeting.
I imagine that that is also almost like a support group for artists as well who are going through this pandemic in Italy and also the United States.
Exactly. Exactly right. And that's one of the things that museums can bring to the table. There's a definite therapeutic quality with what it is that we do. And one of the important therapeutic things that we do right now is we collect. The big stress that we as museums have had is we need to have the tangible, the hard evidence of what is going on day to day right now in this moment in time, so that 100 years from now that the people that come after us will know what we went through. And so I know a lot of museums are concentrating on how we collect right now. That's a really difficult thing when it comes to, like I had said earlier, disinfecting the objects when you receive them. But also the words, the thoughts of people is something that I know a lot of places are collecting. The History Museum at the Castle, for instance, in Appleton, has started a program where they're asking the public, you know, kind of certain questions and trying to gather information about what people think of life right now in Wisconsin at this very time. And I know a lot of our local history museums are conscientious about collecting this point in history so that they have that in their collection for years to come.
Well, let's take another call now. Ruth is driving through Wisconsin right now. Hi, Ruth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to know why the government feels that these businesses that they've shut down, like the museums, hair salons, are not essential to the American public. Why can they not sanitize like your drugstores, your grocery stores, your gas stations all do? So, all these other entities employ millions of people throughout the United States, and it dramatically affects all the families, and this is their job of choice.
Yeah, Ruth, thank you so much. Greg, you know, why are museums closed? What is that directive there?
Well, it's a real tricky thing for museums because though we sincerely believe museums are essential parts of our communities, that what we bring is something that every family, every person needs to have, whether it's knowledge of history, whether it's a sense of place, whether either the real stress is that no matter what it is, museums are gathering places. Museums are intended to have people come together, whether it's families, groups, and look at the museum collections as a group of people. And that's incredibly hard to do safely right now. We talk about a lot of the digital stuff, and I think all museums are going to probably, when we get to the other side of this, produce a lot more digitally, but nothing can beat being in person with, in my case here in my museum, a George O'Keefe painting or a Picasso. There's nothing like being face-to-face. And there's nothing, when you're face-to-face, like sharing that with somebody else, sharing that experience. So if museums are about shared experience, and we're at a time when we're discouraging people from really getting together in groups, it does make sense that museums be closed to the public. But, you know, obviously we hate to have that happen.
Greg Vadney is leading us through our museum community, the challenges. We're learning how they're getting through these difficult times. A shout out to the Oshkosh Public Museum and the Rock County Historical Society in Janesville. We appreciate you, Lee Yockey Woodson Art Museum in Wausau. And same to you, Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass in Neenah. Join in with a shout out. What are your favorite museums in Wisconsin? Which ones are the most important to you and your family? What stories do you have about visiting them as a kid? Be part of this with your tribute, 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Greg Vadney for more Wisconsin Weekend after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick programming note here. Our website is where you'll find live coverage of the daily White House Coronavirus Task Force briefings. Go to WPR.org for those real-time updates. Right now, we're going around the state to check in on our cultural institutions, our museum community that has had to dream up new ways to engage beyond their walls. There is no firm number on how many museums are in Wisconsin, but a safe estimate is about 800. There is firm evidence, though, of the contributions they make to our state educationally, artistically, economically, and psychologically. So do you work or volunteer at a museum in your community? How has the pandemic affected operations? What questions do you have about local museums adapting and one day reopening? We're at 800-642-1234. And Greg Vadney from the Wisconsin Federation of Museums stays with us. Greg, we have another question here is, you know, why can't museums limit the number of visitors and have the workers wear masks? Would that be enough protection, they ask?
Well, it's probably not something that I'm prepared to answer. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a question for somebody more in the healthcare community that would be more adept to answer a question like that. If it were possible, I assure you we would open Wisconsin's museums, but we do have to take the advice of the governor and the health services office to make those decisions.
Your federation is set to have a big conference in Milwaukee this summer in July. Is that still on?
Yes, we're partnering with the Association of Midwest Museums for a conference the last week of July. And as it stands right now, that is still on. We're still hoping to hold that conference and hold it in person. I've actually got a meeting later today with the Leadership Council to find out whether that will stick. But as of right now, we don't want to have to postpone it. So we're trying to do our level best to make sure that we can get things up and running in Milwaukee by the end of July. There are a few other conferences around the state and groups around the state that are meeting, and we're hoping that we keep those on for late summer and early fall. I will say that that it's been challenging to be able to set these dates and find new dates that work for people. I guess everything is kind of slammed right now, but we certainly want to not only get the museum community to meet face-to-face as soon as we can, but we also want to help our friends in the tourism industry with something like a large 600-person conference. So hopefully we'll keep that going. For any information about that and really anything COVID-19 related and museum related, I'd encourage any of our museum listeners and any listeners in general who are involved in museums to go to our website, and that's wisconsinmuseums.org.
I understand that museums are donating gloves to medical workers. Why do museums have the gloves, and what is going on there?
Good question. First reaction I think most of us as museums had to this was, how are we going to help? And the first thing that came to mind is the nitrile gloves that medical workers use. A lot of people think of museums and think of the white cotton gloves, and some museums still use them. But many years ago, a lot of museums shifted to using the same kind of gloves they use in the healthcare industry to handle our objects, to handle the collections. And for some of us in the museum world, we've got stockpiles of them. The larger museums might have a full case, two cases of them. And we immediately, WFM encouraged all of our affiliate members to make sure that they donate them. For us, we can get by for a little while without those gloves. But for our friends in the medical community who desperately need them, that was a donation that was a no-brainer. So I hope that at this point in time, all museums are just handling things with either the white cotton gloves or their own fingers. And all the nitrile gloves in all of our museums are now in the hands of the people that need them immediately.
Is there anything we can do to support our local museums here in Wisconsin? What is the best thing we can do?
Yeah, there's a few things that anybody can do to support their local museums. You can make sure that you go to their websites, find the programming that they're doing, go to their Facebook pages if they have an Instagram or a Twitter feed. Learn about what we're doing day to day. But many of the museums that I've talked to have either started their own fundraising campaign or they're in the process of starting their own fundraising campaign. For them, it isn't about building a new addition, and it isn't about buying new objects for their collection. It's about surviving right now. And so if anyone out there has anything that they can provide to help our museums to get through this point in time. I know the outlook is not outstanding. I know that the hearts of the people in the museum world are strong and they will persevere. But without funding, many of our museums, like I had said right at the top of the hour, many of our museums are going to be struggling to open back up. So you can check with your museum. You might have local care organizations that are providing funds for local nonprofits. Check into that. And then also we need advocates. We need people talking to our leadership at the state and at the federal level, talking to them about what you had said when we came back from commercial, the importance of our museums in many different ways, not just educationally, not just entertainment, but economically for our communities, psychologically for our communities. And we need to get funding. The First CARES Act seems to have provided some level of funding for museums, and we're encouraged by that, but it won't get us all the way by. So we're definitely interested in surviving, and we're hoping that the general public is going to be able to step up when we need them. And I also, you know, one of the things when you're supporting museums, you're always getting something in return. And one of the highlights that I definitely wanted to make before we leave is one of our museums, the Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts in Cedarburg, has established a quarantine quilt challenge.
I saw that.
A lot of the boxes out there. So if you want, you can do the Getty challenge, which a lot of people are doing nationwide, where you dress up as your favorite artist or your favorite artwork. There are a lot of great games and things that you can do. But the quarantine quilt challenge challenges people all around the state to create their own quilt pattern, quilt square, and then eventually to send it in. So that not only will connect you with other people, connect you with that museum, you can be creative at home, and you can also provide a lasting kind of monument to this time period we're in. And that kind of, for me, is a lovely way to connect all of the things that museums do. Connecting people, making them more creative in their own world, and then also making sure that we hold on to these important things that we can then connect future generations with what's going on right now.
We're talking with Greg Vadney, who is Executive Director of the RAR West Art Museum in Manitowoc. He's President of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. And we're discussing the state of museums during the pandemic with your thoughts, your questions, and your shout-out to your favorite museum at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Greg, at RAR West, you're also providing daily content on your Facebook page and a live stream of a local artist named David Carpenter.
Yeah, we've been trying to produce as much content as we can, but we want to at least every day at 3 p.m. Upload new content and make sure that we share our collection. That's kind of what we're best known for. So collection pieces give you a little bit more background than you would normally get. We've toured our historic mansion for the public. And then also we want to talk about the arts world around us. I had said earlier, we're a municipal museum. We're actually a department of the city of Manitowoc. So we want to make sure that as a department that we're not just a building, but we are what encompasses the visual arts in Manitowoc, whether it's public arts or the artists like Mr. Carpenter, who is a classically trained artist who does figurative and still life painting and is an exceptional painter. So he had put together a live stream. We jumped on that and sent it out to our people. If you're on our Facebook page, the RAR West, you'll see he is an incredible, incredible artist.
Oh, that's so it's really neat that you're trying to get that daily content out there, you know, every day so that there is something new to discover when you do visit your local museum virtually.
You got it. And we also kind of have jumped on our Twitter feed with some more content. And that stuff is not educational at all. It is we've had it taken over by a little girl in a painting by Wisconsin artist Herbert Davidson, which we have in our collection.
Oh, yeah.
And the painting entitled Sunday Afternoon is a little girl angrily pressing against her window from the inside. We thought, man, that's probably a good synopsis of how a lot of little kids are. So we decided she was going to take over the Twitter feed. And she's not providing any educational information, but the idea of her being a frustrated little girl can't get outside.
The emotion says it all, right? Greg Vadney is by our side as we acknowledge museums around the state and how we can help during this crisis. A shout out to the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend, the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay, the Door County Maritime Museum in Sturgeon Bay, and as we talked about, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Kathy Green, our hearts are with you. So what museum would you like to pay tribute to? Share your stories, your memorable exhibitions, the staffers who have made a difference in your life through art. It's 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Greg Vadney here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So the pandemic closures affecting weekend plans continued yesterday. Governor Evers ordered 40 state forests, recreation areas, and parks to close. And this hour, we're talking about another popular getaway that's affected by these shutdowns. That's our museum community. Is your favorite museum closed because of the coronavirus? How are you trying to continue to support it? Join in 800-642-1234. Greg Vadney is here. He's the Wisconsin Federation of Museums president, and he stays with us. Let's take a call now. Michael is joining us from Eau Claire this morning. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Kate.
Hi. What's on your mind about museums?
Yeah, I work actually in the children's museum sector of museums, and kind of a neat little fact is that Wisconsin has the most children's museums per capita out of the entire United States. But my question for Greg is, one of our concerns right now, and it really seems that most of the funding support is going to basic needs, which is totally understandable. But I really think in this scenario of a shutdown of our business that those that rely on earned revenue, such as museums like ours, actually stand to probably lose the most because the example that I share is our field trips come up here in April and May, and we actually aren't going to be able to make up any of that revenue. And so we're expecting at least a loss of $26,000 in earned revenue. We're thinking it might be as high as $135,000. And so I'd be really curious to hear Greg's take on that compared to those that rely on contributed revenue. You know, you can really get that revenue anytime during the year, whereas earned revenue, there's certain times of year you can only earn it. So I'd really be curious to hear that perspective, and I'll Michael, take the answer.
Michael, thank you so much. Greg?
Yeah, and Michael makes some great points. One, he's right that children's museums are plentiful in Wisconsin, and children's museums in many ways are taking that hit because earned income is so important to them. This lets you know exactly what his call lets you know just how devastating this is and the importance of having either a federal or a state backstop for these kinds of museums. There's a little way that they can make up for stuff like this through just the generosity of donors. It is a substantial loss, and it requires action from our elected officials. And that's where advocacy makes sense. Now, when I go and I talk to an elected official, they say, of course, you're the president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. But when the people out, your listeners, when they talk to their local officials and when they talk about how important museums are to them, it has a great impact. So I really stress it has to be a grassroots effort to make sure that in the next packages of funding that there is substantial money available for these museums to be able to bridge this gap, to be able to get over these enormous losses, financial losses that they're taking on.
Well, when I think of the children's museums, the image that comes to mind is just how busy they are, how much foot traffic that they have. And to think of them dark right now is just, it really makes your heart heavy.
It does. And, you know, there's always going to be that concern following this. So even when places, any museum, but children's museums especially, when they open up, you know, there's that worry that people will be hesitant to go back to these places and allow their kids to be able to you know, meet up with other kids and do these kind of group gatherings. So it's not just about these days when our museums are closed, but it's the effects that might happen for years after this that we need to protect against. And really what it comes down to is we can't operate these places without funds, right? Many of us are nonprofits, but that doesn't mean we don't need revenue, all right? So when revenue dries up, we need some kind of support system to be able to backstop.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for joining us, and please take care.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Greg Vadney, president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. He's also executive director of the RAR West Art Museum in Manitowoc. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about anticipating a better tomorrow.
People are using a lot of coping mechanisms to get through these days. For writer Jan Larson, it's hope, faith, and love.
Today is my birthday. I could joke and claim the whole of Wisconsin shut down in celebration, dancing in the streets to follow. But that wouldn't be true. Hashtag safer at home. Instead, I'll tell you that I woke with a singular word rolling around in my head. Hope. As I lay in bed, unwilling to acknowledge the white-gray sky and the dirt-flecked snow of March receding into the pine trees that line our property, I glanced up and smiled. Above our bedroom closet, I had as a young mother stenciled 3 clusters of pansies in shades of blue, yellow, violet, and red. 1 bouquet for each of the 3 children I didn't know we'd have, but for whom we hoped. The stenciled art was an attempt to remind me of the spring that would follow the long Wisconsin winters. I don't often remember they are there, but today they greeted me with the promise of spring. These delicate flowers made me hope for more than the blooms that spring invariably brings. I hope for, I expect, a time when the distance will fade and the virtual hugs we send our now young adult children will be replaced with open arms and heads nestled close to our hearts. Hope. It's a word that works well with others. I can't think of hope without bumping into faith and love. Like the ivy that twists its way through the pansies on my wall, these words are linked. They are my heritage, the legacy from my pastor father who spent his adult life and my childhood tramping through cotton fields among migrant farm workers and later city barrios to proclaim hope. My mother, his partner, his confidant, his counselor, had a depth of faith that sustained her in her middle years and beyond when she struggled with illness that sometimes succeeded in severing her hold on reality. Faith, complete trust and confidence. After my parents died in a car accident, one of my siblings sent me the Bibles they had carried with them. My mother's constant companion sat by my nightstand for more than a year before I could bring myself to open it. When I unzipped the fabric cover, bits of twig and leaves, remnants of the crash that had somehow worked their way into cracks and crevices, fell from its pages. The inside front covers bore her beautiful, precise handwriting and a long list of favored verses. Verses of faith, hope, and love. Verses that she shared with me as a child when others ridiculed and rejected me. As I reread them, I was reminded of the hope, of the expectation that someday there would be love. Love. Well, we recognize it when we see it. I found that love in the eyes of a man who has been my partner, confidant, counselor, and friend for more than 30 years. His love is more than a feeling. It is a choice, a daily act on his part to be that person who loves me unconditionally. As I face the final year of my 5th decade, a time of great uncertainty for the entire planet, I am able to draw on a lifetime of faith, hope, and love. Together, they will allow me to weather the storm that has engulfed us all. I hope the same for you.
Writer Jan Larson is the chair of the Communication and Journalism Department at UW-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum. Little darling.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show, which takes us all around the state. We're still looking for ways that we can connect, even as we are closer here at home. If you have an idea for Wisconsin Weekend, please send it our way at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.